Good evening, folks. Welcome to the Creation Science Hour and a Half. Kent Hovind and Awesome Albert here live in the studio.
January 30th, 2006.
Okay, good. And Albert, you got some guests here in the studio today. Tell us who they are.
My mom and dad, Andy and Lynn.
All the way from?
Georgia. It was formerly Ocala, but...
Formerly Ocala. Okay.
Now Georgia.
Awesome. Well, good to have them here. Andy and Lynn. What kind of work you do, Andy? Contractor. Where were you all day, man? Albert and I have been building stuff all day over there. We could have used you. He's getting pretty good. The pointed end goes in on the nails. He's got that figured out. You beat on the flat spot.
For the most part.
Yeah. Screws turn to the right. Righty, tighty, lefty, loosey. We got him trained on that. Yeah, he's been a blessing here. All right, well, you can join us on the program, folks. We are the right-wing radicals who believe the Bible is literally true and scientifically accurate, and the evolution theory being taught in our schools is the dumbest and most dangerous religion in the history of planet Earth. Never been a dumber idea yet than to believe we all came from a rock 4.6 billion years ago. And if you believe that, that's okay. We're not making fun of you, but it is kind of a dumb idea, and you ought to stop and think about that one more time. Get your head screwed on straight and think, man, that's just not too smart, okay? And we're here to help. Okay, you can instant message us at Dr. Dino Live, AOL instant message, Dr. Dino Live, that's DrDinoLive. Or you can call us at 877-479-DINO, 877-479-3466, extension 136. Yeah, you can get a hold of, and go to extension 136 and get a hold of us on the program here. Yesterday we had a couple, or Friday we had a couple left over, Albert. Oh, this weekend I spoke in Jay, Florida. Ever heard of Jay, Florida? Population 7.
Yeah,
it's just north of here, about 40 miles. Great little city. They raise tons of peanuts, literally. one of the guys in the church there said he gets about 2 tons of peanuts per acre. Uh-huh. And he gave me a bag of, not a ton, but I can't imagine a ton of peanuts. Man, that's a lot. But they gave us a bag. They're on the table in the gazebo there if you want some, folks. You can grab them there. But they had a good meeting up there at the church in Pine Level Baptist Church. I forgot to ask him how it got a name like that. Pine Level. I can't figure out how it could get that such a name. But anyway, so join us on the program here if you'd like to. We have some left over from Friday, and this weekend I'm in Texas. For all you Texans out there, I'll be in Paris, Texas. That's north of Longview. And then I'll be over in Dallas, Texas, south of Dallas at Granbury, and then at Glen Rose, Texas at Dr. Carl Baugh's ministry there. Doing an interview with Dr. Baugh as well as... oh, by the way, hey, Leah, go tell Glenda to help my son, Ken Andrew. I got to take a camera on this trip to Texas to videotape some of the footprints with me there. Okay? Tell Ken Andrew I need a camera for this weekend. I forgot about that. That's good. And Leah, the librarian, she's been a blessing here, brother. Get some work out of her. Okay, so last Friday we had some leftover. Let's see. One guy said, sent me the information about unmuseum.org. Did we finish talking about that, Albert? The frogs that are stuck in rock and in...
Yeah, I think we finished that.
In trees.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. It's pretty amazing how many animals have been found, you know, in rock or in wood. The tree grew around them like a frog or something, and they're still alive in there. It's pretty amazing. That's unmuseum.org. I'm going to have to look at that. And they'll slash entombed. E-N-T-O-M-B-E-D. Okay, here's one. Thank you for answering my questions. I appreciate it. Doesn't have a name here. Okay. Senator Tombstone wrote in, which form of human government is the most moral in your opinion? Probably the only one would be a theocracy where God is in charge. Children of Israel started off with a theocracy where they're supposed to be, God's law is supreme and everybody obeys God's law. God is actually the king or the governor or the ruler or whatever, and everybody else just does what he says.
So a dictatorship wouldn't work?
Only if Jesus was the dictator. Dictatorships can be good if you get a benevolent dictator, but that's usually doesn't last long, okay? Once they realize, I'm God, all of a sudden... It kind of falls apart from there, okay? Democracies are horrible forms of government because, man, then the majority can vote to eliminate the minority. Oh, that's dangerous, real dangerous. The founding fathers of our country 250 years ago debated this for years. What type of government would we have if America became a free nation? And when Ben Franklin was coming out of Constitutional Hall in Pennsylvania, a lady asked him, said, "Sir, what kind of government did you give us?" He said, "A republic, if you can keep it." A republic is governed by law, not by man's opinion. And I get real nervous when I hear George Bush and all these guys saying, "Oh, we got to spread democracy around the world." Man, I hope he doesn't really mean that. I suspect that he does, though. I'm getting a little leery of anybody in political positions these days. But I've said for years, I love my country, but I fear my government. And I think that's the wise way to do it. Okay, so anyway, what type of government is the best or most moral, in my opinion? It would be a theocracy. Probably second would be, a constitutional republic, where the Constitution is supreme and all laws are based on natural law as opposed to, you know, man's opinion, which changes from time to time. It changes every day, whichever way the wind's blowing. And a lot of these crazy senators, representatives, got their finger up in the air thinking, okay, which way is the wind blowing? Y'all tell me which way you want to go, and I'll lead. We need some statesmen, man, not politicians. You know what politics is, Albert?
Well, kind of.
Well, poly means many, and a tick is a blood-sucking insect, okay? So politics is a many blood-sucking insects all in one room. Okay, Duke Guru 716 wrote in Friday, and I'm sorry I did not get to it. Jealousy meant something totally different in 1611. Jealousy, according to Duke, we were talking about God is jealous. Somebody asked if there's a contradiction in the Bible. Careful loving is what it used to mean, he says. I don't know, Duke. You're right. We should check that out in a 1611 dictionary. Hey, Leia, get the 1828 dictionary and look up jealousy, and let's see what that says. Okay. That'd be a good one. We were talking about that yesterday. Somebody, or Friday, somebody said there were contradictions in the Bible. J-E-A-L, jealousy. Let's see what that says here. Okay. For today, while she looks that up, we have some testimonies to read, and then you can get your instant messages in here. Oh, I got to accept the message, don't I? Tell it yes. Okay, jealousy in 1828, which dictionary was similar to the 1600s meaning, that passion or particular uneasiness which arises from the fear that a rival may rob us of the affection of one whom we love, or the suspicion that he has already done it. Or it is the uneasiness which arises from the fear that another does or will enjoy some advantage which we desire for ourselves. A man's jealousy is excited by the attentions of a rival to his favorite lady. And basically, that's the only definition. Oh, suspicious fear or apprehension, definition two. Suspicious caution or vigilance. Indignation. God's jealousy signifies his concern for his own character and government, with a holy indignation against those who violate his laws. There you go. All right. Thank you, Leo. Okay, who's on the phone there, Albert?
We have Jonathan from Pal Talk.
Jonathan from Pal Talk. Hang on, let me get my headphones on here, Jonathan. All right, did you find some evolutionists willing to come on the program?
No, not yet. Not today, maybe.
Let me ask you about Pal Talk now. When they are on their program, do they talk about evolution and how wonderful it is and how dumb creation is? And you still there?
I had to adjust my headset.
Okay.
Yeah, they do. They pop in social issues, and there's, you know, usually about maybe five. These are all user-created rooms. Anybody can pop on here and create a room, give it a title, and do whatever they want. But when they do, and there are some rooms of social issues titled like, you know, God is a hoax, Jesus was an F student, you know, crap like that, just making up stuff, and they, you know, or all kinds of just religious bashing, and they stick it over in their social issues sections, and, you know, they say, get the Bible out of our government. We don't want the Bible. We don't want this. And they put it under social issues under that justification that it's a social issue to them. But yeah, I think they have some social issues of their own. But, yeah, they do that. And, you know, I just think the room here is, you know, kind of a last bastion of, you know, oh, yeah, well, you know, here's some intelligent counter offer, you know. Here's something else that you guys usually don't think about. And they make their little atheist rooms and stuff like that you know, usually get a whole lot of people. So that's what we're here for. That's what we're doing over here.
Awesome.
Yeah.
So Pal Talk.
Oh, yeah. That guy who called in and asked what service it was, he showed up Friday. He got signed on and said that, oh, yeah, I heard you on the radio.
Oh, good.
Yeah, he got on here. But, no, they usually pop in and out or can't get him to stay more than 5 minutes, like you said. You know, do a little chicken clucking there. So, yeah.
Well, do they really not want an answer? They just want to make a statement and run, or what?
Well, yeah, they sometimes make statements and run. Sometimes they apologize and comment and stuff like that. Nothing super intelligent. Just the same old stuff that you know was in textbooks 50 years ago. Radiocarbon dating and Precambrian rock and Kent Hovind is ugly and stupid. You know.
Well, tell them, hey, this is America, the land of the free and the home of the slave. Okay, you get to face your accusers. Tell them to call me.
I do.
Okay.
I do.
I said if they won't, then they're a coward. Okay. Tell them sweetly, but that's...
I put it right up in the banner. Here's what I put in the banner when I type it. I put it up there. I say, attention, all armchair archaeologists and your pseudoscience rhetoric spewed year after year. Time to step up to the plate. You know, I dare you.
Okay.
So that's what they all do. All our little armchair geniuses, all quoting from each other.
All right.
But what I was wondering.
Hang on, we got a break here. Hang on through the break. Okay. We'll be back in about a minute and a half.
All right.
Hey, thanks a lot. Be right back, folks. Hang on the other side. All right, folks. Welcome back to the Creation Science Hour and a Half. Kent Hovind and Awesome Albert and his parents here visiting. Good to have you folks here. And we got Jonathan on the phone from Pal Talk. Let me give our disclaimer here. We love saying this. We believe the Bible is literally true and scientifically accurate. And the evolution theory being taught in our schools is the dumbest and most dangerous religion in the history of planet Earth. And you can join us at 850-479-DINO, extension 136, or you can call instant message us at Dr. Dino Live. Okay, now Jonathan, these guys on Pal Talk do not want to call in. They don't want an answer. They're armchair geniuses.
Yes, that is correct. All of the above.
Okay.
I put that in there, and you know, one guy was in there. I thought he might have actually called in. He said he had talked to you before. He said, this is how it goes. I'm going to say this, Kent's going to say that, then he's going to argue with me and say something and hang up on me. I said, wait, I've never heard Kent hang up on anybody. You're making that up, you know. But there was just one guy that, only one guy I've ever seen that actually almost came close. Just a little bit off, almost was going to call in, and suddenly he had work to do. But
I don't recall ever hanging up on anybody.
I know. I've been listening to you for a long time.
Okay.
Yeah, but it was like, wait a second, hang on. But yeah, that's I've gotten even before your show starts. I usually open the room and just let it sit here, and people come in then because they don't like the fact the room even exists. I could sit here by myself and listen to your show, and just the fact that I'm here upsets them because they don't want to see it in their little atheist, little social issues, government stuff. But what we do have. I was wondering some things here. I noticed that you also noticed that old W goes around saying making the world safe for democracy. I thought me and my wife were the only people in the world that noticed that. But I guess you're keen on that too, huh?
Well, he's knowingly or unknowingly, I suspect he knows. Okay,
yeah.
But he's not the sharpest knife in the drawer. But he's definitely part of the New World Order, One World Government types.
Oh, yeah.
I think, though, he probably really is a Christian and therefore has real mixed emotions about what he's doing. I would give him the benefit of the doubt and say he probably doesn't sleep well at night.
Well, yeah, he's not the brightest crayon in the box, but
right.
He's got, it's America's a republic. I thought maybe I'd be the only one that noticed that.
Well, it's a constitutional republic. There are several types of republics, you know. Constitutional republic is the law is supreme. And every law you pass must match the Constitution, or the law is no good.
Okay.
I mean, it's real simple. They can pass any law they want, and then all somebody has to do is challenge it, and it goes to court, and the courts are supposed to rule, is this, you know, constitutional or not?
Well, yeah, they don't really go on Constitution, you know. That was kind of done away with a long time ago. Just people haven't all woke up to that.
No, we've been really duped on that one.
Oh, yeah, that's, yeah.
Let's start with Abe Lincoln, you know.
Yeah, the Executive Order Number 1, the Powers Act of 1863.
Well, see, that's why they're always declaring war. Because whenever war is declared, the Constitution is suspended anyway. And so when they say there's going to be a war on drugs, a war on poverty, you know, a war on ignorance, it doesn't matter. As soon as they declare war, we're all messed up. You know, the Constitution doesn't matter.
Yeah, it's been like that. And, you know, that's just talking about the Federal Reserve goes over some people's heads, which is what I was wondering. You mentioned knowing about the Protocols of the Elders of Zion.
Yes, sir.
In one of your tapes. A little something that I also noticed, besides the obvious, you know, all-seeing eye and the Egyptian monument on the back of U.S. currency.
Right.
Besides that, if you notice opposite of that, on right above the right above the eagle's head on the back of the $1 bill, If you notice the arrangement of the stars, it makes a Mogan David. If you notice, if anybody, that was pointed out to me, and I looked at that and just draw the little triangles, and there you go. You got the stars above the eagle's head in the shape of the Star of Israel there.
Mm-hmm.
I noticed that interesting. But that was a little factoid that somebody threw at me, and I whipped out a dollar bill and said, you know what? You're right.
Well, you are right. There are 13 stars, 13 berries on the olive leaf in his right foot, and 13 arrows in his left foot, 13 rows of stones in the pyramid. If you look behind the pyramid, there's nothing. If you look in front of the pyramid, there's vegetation growing. Okay? This symbolizes they're going to bring in the New World Order, where they bring the world out of chaos into life, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Of course, it's out of the ashes. And that's where the word phoenix comes in, you know? Phoenix rises out of the ashes.
Which is what's replaced the eagle on top of American flags, if you look at them nowadays. A lot of them have a phoenix with a tapered wing and a serpentine neck. I've seen people talk about that, and I've actually seen one myself. It ain't the traditional eagle. I've seen federal institutions with the... What more looks more like a phoenix? What more looks like the it's not the stout neck or the broad wings. They've got tapered wings and this little serpentine neck.
Interesting.
Yeah, I noticed that one day. That I've actually seen in person. That's not just hearsay.
All right.
But something else I was wondering here, with getting more on creation type stuff. With I was wondering, we had a nice Christian lady. Actually, here, I'll get to that in a minute, but I was wondering, what is your explanation? Because I know what all the evolutionists and stuff like that, I was wondering, what do you think the purpose is for caves? How did they get there?
I think during the flood, you would get thousands and thousands of feet of sedimentation containing bazillions of dead things, okay? Including giant thick layers of limestone, which would be precipitated out, okay, during the flood. All the limestone would have formed during the flood. Now, limestone is pretty susceptible to acid. Acid will eat limestone. You could put muriatic acid on your driveway, and it'll bubble up and eat away the concrete. Okay, you clean brick with muriatic acid. Well, when leaves decay, they produce carbonic acid. It's pretty mild, but the water that runs down through the ground, soaks into the ground through the dead vegetation, is slightly acidic. So I think during the flood, as all these thousands of feet of sedimentation were being deposited at the bottom, they were soaked full of, you know, rotting vegetation and slightly acidic water. And then as the ground lifted up, Psalm 104 says, the mountains arose, the valley sank down, the water rushed off. The compression, squeezing of some of these layers, just from the lifting of the mountain ranges, would squeeze water out, like squeezing water out of a sponge. And if it could find an exit, it would squirt out the side of a cliff or maybe even up to the top, an artesian well, or maybe like a sinkhole. And some of the cave would have been formed very rapidly. Then over time, because the limestone was still relatively soft and still full of this slightly acidic water, it would erode and be redeposited as cave formations very quickly. Probably 90% of the hole of a cave, of the cavity, was formed in the first week.
Okay.
And what
do you think?
Slowly since then.
Okay.
There have been more since then.
Okay. So going down on...
Go ahead.
We need some water, huh?
Yeah, Eric's talking to Albert. Doesn't realize the microphone's on over there. Go ahead.
So you're saying that... What do you think? Do you think they ever, like, some of it goes... Some, you know, ever goes down so deep or deep into some underground cavern or into the center of the earth eventually, or... You know, or that it stops somewhere. All kinds of caves, some people that they've never totally explored.
Oh, it is estimated, and I think it's a reasonable estimate, that Missouri, Tennessee, Kentucky, and Arkansas each have about 5,000 caves. Who knows? I mean, there's limestone layers almost completely across the United States. You know, one continuous layer of limestone indicating, obviously, a really big flood. Now, if anybody wants to believe that's a local flood, go ahead, you know.
Yeah.
I was supposed to be debating Hugh Ross tomorrow on the radio station, and they called in, and apparently he's canceled out.
Okay.
But, he believes the flood was just a local flood in the days of Noah.
Okay.
How on earth can you say such a thing and read the Bible, you know?
Yeah, for some reason they believe in that it was just a... local flood, but yeah, there's a lot of stuff other country that I knew about even before picking up your materials.
Mm-hmm.
So you're saying the caves, it has a limestone and there's pressure and stuff, the mountains rising and the water receding, it caused a big pressure buildup that blew out something.
Right. It would be like squeezing water out of a sponge.
Okay.
It's going to find an exit if it can, usually a lower elevation, mm-hmm. and it's going to drain downhill. And, you know, most caves have water soaking in through the ground from the top and then water running out someplace else.
Yeah, is that why they're wet? Because I've been in caves.
Oh, yeah, water soaking through from the top. Actually, mm-hmm. that changes radically from season to season, whether it's uh-huh. you know, rainier. It may rain, and it may take 6 months for the water to soak down that far to come into the cave.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like, and they get the little mineral waters and stuff like that going through. They say it takes millions and millions of years to make stalactites and stalagmites. And
well, on my video number one, I cover that, you know, how rapidly those things can form.
Yeah, I've seen that. I know that happens. The other thing, let me see here. Another thing that there was a good Christian lady here that was in the room Friday. Unfortunately, she's not here to hear this now. We had noticed, I had noticed that I had gotten the Ollie G interview of you, and I saw you on there.
All right.
And I had downloaded it. I was able to find it. There, you sitting there with, you know, Mr. Techmology and
yeah.
everything that he had said, and you know, do you eat bananas? And
yeah, that's proof of evolution. I was blindsided. I'd never heard of the guy, you know. And, we got another break coming in here. Hang on.
Okay.
We'll be back right after the break, folks. Join us on the other side. Welcome back, folks, to the Creation Science Hour and a Half. Albert, you were telling about during the break about sinkholes in your gymnasium in Ocala, Florida.
It wasn't the school I went to, but one of the schools, they had a sinkhole in the gym. And it was going down each year, the gym was.
So they had to abandon the school.
Well, I think it's being used for like some kind of tech school now. Yeah.
And well, see, the caves down, between Ocala and Orlando, the lot of caves down there, and they're only just 15, 20, 30 feet underground. So you can get a sinkhole where all of a sudden the roof just isn't able to support the weight in it. There's a whole neighborhood sank in Winter Gardens, Florida.
Yeah.
Yeah, 4 or 5 houses, swimming pool and everything, dropped down 40 feet. Amen. Well, you can join us on the program. Jonathan, we'll get back to you in a second here. We're at 850-479-DINO, extension 136, or instant message us, Dr. Dino Live. And Jonathan, yes, sir, tell us more.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I wasn't bringing up Ollie G just for no reason. That there was a Christian lady who was in the room asking about, in particular, because I had seen that, and the banana question and all that stuff
right.
that he had you on there with. And I saw it, and I thought, and I looked at that, and we were looking at that and checking that out, and I thought, dang, I thought, you are the youngest looking 53-year-old I've ever seen, you know? Well, next to my wife, but you were the youngest looking 53-year-old guy I've ever seen. So she was asking, she wanted to know, she had said, are you, or do you know about, or are you on something, I don't know, something called the Hallelujah Diet?
I'm very familiar with it. George Malcolmus is a great guy. He's up in North Carolina, Hallelujah Acres, hacres.com.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I'm not on it totally. I do use a lot of that concept, you know. I do have to live in this body the rest of my life. I'm sitting here drinking a protein shake right now, Shaklee Instant Meal Shake, you know. I have been taking vitamins pretty regular for 25 years.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, it's certainly working his stuff there. You definitely show it. She was wondering that, yeah, if you were familiar with it, or, yeah, you said you do something like it. And just the last thing here, just two more little points here that I thought of. I noticed you said that you make paper airplanes. Now, did they really go 400 feet? I mean, can those things really soar? How did you ever come up with that concept of the paperclip on the end of it?
Well, if you eat a lot of pizza before you go to bed, at 2 in the morning, you get really cool ideas. Okay? You got to wake up and write them down real quick, okay? And if you put peanut butter on the pizza, there is no telling what you'll think of.
Mm.
So that's the secret. I thought that went up in the middle of the night. I woke up and said, wait, hey, that'll work, you know? Paperclip on the plane. Our record's 450 feet. That's with no wind on level ground.
Did you set the record?
I have the record, right. We get four rubber bands from Office Depot, aisle 12. Get the file folder, jumbo-sized rubber bands. You put file bands are called. Tie four of those together. Get two people to hold them. And you pull it back and fire it. And it's phenomenal.
An airplane.
A half a sheet of paper.
Yeah.
We teach the kids an ordinary piece of paper, if it's properly prepared and properly motivated,
mm-hmm.
it'll do things you would never dream. And an ordinary kid, if they get properly prepared, which means study, pay attention, read a book, you know, and properly motivated, which might involve a belt or a 2x4, cattle prod, you know, they can do amazing things with proper preparation and proper motivation. So, yeah.
That's a good lesson.
Oh, yeah. We have everything here at Dinosaur Adventureland has a science lesson and a spiritual lesson.
Huh.
Come on up and pay a visit.
What about just hand thrown from a single hand? How far does it go in that case?
No, I don't know. Not very far. There are different types of designs of airplanes that'll hover. I think somebody has the record with 17 seconds hover time.
Wow.
There's a book out called The World's Greatest Paper Airplanes. The guy who holds the record, it's about an inch thick book. I've got it here in the library somewhere. But there's 800 designs of airplanes. And you know, the F-15 is proof that a brick will fly if you put enough gas behind it. So we make the round airplane also. The Bernoulli plane. You need to just come to a seminar sometime. We'll do all that. And the fish airplane is pretty cool. Looks like a fish.
It's pretty neat.
And it spins like a helicopter. It's just really weird.
Aerodynamics, huh?
Yeah, we love it. All right?
Okay. And the, I think Fun Friday, just to finish it up here, I know you got other people with probably, hopefully, something important to challenge you on. Huh? There's, on Friday, I think you talked about something with Islam and Muslims or something, talking about in the Quran about the, maybe you did, maybe I just made a note of this and forgot to make a reference, but I know something in the Quran mentions the sun setting in a puddle of murky water.
That is correct. That's what the Quran says.
Yeah, I remember I talked to a Muslim about that. What they say, what their explanation of it is they call it poetic license. They say it's, you know, we know the sun doesn't really rise, it just orbits around, the earth orbits and turns, but I remember I talked to a Muslim guy about it. He said, oh, that's not a contradiction, that's not a, it's definitely not scientific, but they just call it poetic license. That. So, yeah, that's, I know that's their explanation for it, but.
Well, ask them, ask them, how do they know Muhammad was a prophet? How do they know he's a prophet? Their answer will be, because he had a mole on his back. Holy moly.
Yeah. Oh, holy moly. I got it.
Muhammad didn't even know if he was going to heaven. In the 19th Sur, verse 66, so Surah 1966, Muhammad asks, when I am dead and buried in the ground and go back to the dust, is that all? What will happen to me? He didn't even know if he's going to heaven.
Oh, yeah. I know there's a whole lot of stuff about the Quran people don't know about, but fortunately I've been educated enough to learn this and that and here and there, and what does that say? But, yeah. I was just wondering if you had known about that. They explain it by... They say it's poetic license, but it's not exactly science.
Well, there are over 100 places in the Quran where it specifically says anybody who will not convert has to be executed.
Oh, yeah. They put that in there. They says it's a religion of peace, but I guess maybe they didn't read their own book that, you know, like Surah 13 or something like that, where it's, kill the infidels if they do not, do this and that. It's all through the Quran, Anybody calling that a peaceful religion needs to pick up their book.
What about Surah 3, 105, where it says, in the great and final day of redemption, only white faces will be saved, and all black faces will be condemned.
What would they consider white over there?
Nobody dark-skinned goes to heaven.
Over in Arabia. But, anyway, with that, having said all that, they do have a lot of those verses, and then they say, what their counter is to the Bible is they say, well, what about the Old Testament with the Amalekites and the Hezekiahites and this and that, all God saying cut their babies out and do this and do that? I don't know. My only retort for that is saying, look at the New Testament, and Jesus never did anything like that. He just said, love and follow me and do good, and like you were saying in one of your seminars, or one of your conversations, I think maybe with Jared, that if you follow it, if you don't lie, don't cheat, don't steal, love one another, would that not be great, everything Jesus said? So.
Well, here's the thing about when God told him to go in and kill, utterly slay an entire nation, okay? Kill the babies, kill the cows, kill women, kill everybody, okay?
Right.
That was for the good of the world and for the good of everybody. These people were loaded with diseases, as well as evil practices.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. Especially the Canaanites. I mean, they were into bestiality, which is how venereal disease started, by the way. Sailors having sex with sheep on the ships. That's what started venereal disease. So, yeah, the God said, kill them all. It's better. So, like, I often ask people this example. I say, suppose when AIDS was first discovered and there were 100 people with AIDS.
Yeah.
Would the world have been better off if we had rounded up all 100 of them and executed them? Would that have been good for the world?
Hmm.
Well, it's a no-brainer. Of course it would have been. Right?
Well, yeah. Or maybe isolated them.
Well, yeah, at least insulated them, isolated them, quarantined them. Because of that, not doing that, how many people have now died?
Yeah, a lot of... But you wonder where exactly did AIDS come from? Because that gets into my speciality.
Well, that may be a poor example, because I understand AIDS is probably deliberately put on the population. But
the bovine vizina virus through a vaccination.
Yeah. But the point is, you know, if God looks at a nation and says to the children of Israel, when you go in there, I want you to kill them all, everyone, don't let one survive. It's just like the doctor when he says, take this antibiotic and take it for 7 days, even if you feel better after 3 days, because you want to kill every single bacteria, even the babies, even the women, even the children, okay? Kill them all. You have to, for the good of the body.
Okay. Well, right? Somebody else is probably trying to call you, so
I got a bunch. Okay, thanks a lot, brother.
Thanks a lot.
All right, bye-bye. Okay, folks, if you want to join us on the program, 877-479-DINO, extension 136. We have instant messages here piled up a long ways here. Albert, I'm going to work on them now as fast as I can. Okay, ATT0111. Hi, can you tell me what you know about how and when the verses in the Bible came to be number divided, number referenced, and are they inspired? I would not say the numbers are inspired. I think that happened 1200 AD, if I recall. That's purely by memory. I think the people who would know the answer to that is avpublications.com, authorized version, publications.com. But I think it was in about 1200s when the Bible was divided up into verses. It may have been divided into chapters before that. That's a good question. I don't know that I have a positive answer. I can hear you typing through the speakers here, Albert. You need to turn your mic off there. Okay. Doug, 1243 writes in, I was wondering if you knew what happens after the thousand-year reign of Christ. Is it written in the Bible somewhere? Well, Revelation 21, Isaiah 65, and 2 Peter 3 all say he's going to make new heavens and a new earth. So the best I can figure out is after a thousand-year reign of Christ on earth, there's going to be another rebellion, believe it or not. There'll be people here on earth who will live through the tribulation and not be saved, but live right into the millennium. It appears to me, this is just Hovenology here, that there'll be two types of people during the thousand-year reign of Christ. There'll be the eternal children of God that have, you know, already died and gone to heaven and come back to rule and reign, and there'll be those who have lived through the tribulation and will be having children and grandchildren. But even then, those people will be living really, really long, because it says a child shall die 100 years of age. I think Garden of Eden conditions will be restored, so they'll be living a long time, and we will get 1,000 years to see if we can do any better than, you know, Adam and Eve did. But at the end of the 1,000 years, when Satan is released from the bottomless pit, he will still be able to gather an army of people who are rebellious against God. So it appears, as like I said, Hovenology, it appears that we will be responsible during that 1,000 years of ruling and reigning with Christ. He's going to need a rod of iron to keep people in line. And there's still going to be a rebellion at the end of that. And then he makes the new heaven and the new earth. Does that match your theology, Albert? Oh, your mic's off. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, good. See? There, we're on track. We agree on it. Okay, good.
Except for the rapture.
Except for the rapture. Right. Yeah, I'm sure hoping for pre-trib, but I, like I said, I've always said, I couldn't prove it from Scripture. Okay, think I'm in love, X writes in. Think I'm in love. This is not you, is it, Albert, writing me a message?
No.
Okay. Think I'm in love says, I have a question. Are birds a part of the dino family? Absolutely not. The scientists that are teaching that today, that's got to be the second to the dumbest idea in the history of humanity, okay? That birds evolved from dinosaurs. I mean, think about it. Just think about it. No, birds are no relation to dinosaurs, okay? They'll say, well, they both have two eyes. Oh, duh. You know, potatoes have eyes too. Okay. No, that's so dumb. We cover that on video number 4 of our award-winning video series, The Creation Seminar. You can watch that on quite a few websites show my videos, which is fine. You can download them. You can get the new 2005 edition now that is out by calling our office. 877-479-DINO, extension 136. Not extension. Don't call the... I'm sorry. Just call the office and forget the 136 and ask for the video series. It's $99 for the whole 18.5-hour seminar, available on DVD or VHS or MP3 or... That's about it. PAL, CCAM, PAL-M, PAL-N. All 6 systems around the world, we have it.
I don't even know what half of that stuff is.
Well, different countries use different systems of... it has to do with... It's just dumb, basically, okay? They should all just listen to me, call me, and I'll give them my opinion and tell them what to do, and they wouldn't have all these problems.
Oh, I saw a commercial a long time ago where this couple went to Europe for a trip, and they got there. They went to plug something in, and the sockets were different to plug in.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
There's about 6 different ones. I've been to 37 countries, and I get this everywhere I go. I mean, I carry a set of adapters with me to be able to plug stuff in. My laptop can handle anywhere from 50 to 60 hertz and anywhere from 100 to 240 volts because it varies all over the world. And my projector does too. I got a projector that handles multi-voltage. Most of Europe is 220 volts and 50 hertz instead of 60 hertz, the cycles per second of electricity. Who cares? You're right. You have to have an adapter, and even then you have to have a transformer to plug some stuff in. If you plugged in a regular 110-volt thing like your electric razor or something in one of their circuits over there, it would run like crazy for about 3 seconds. You could shave your whole body in 3 seconds before the motor blew up. That's what would happen. Here we go. Little Italy, 32,000 writes in, just wondering, if you could give me an update on the New World Order. Is there any new advancements taking place? Please comment on the stirring on the Mount, St. Helens. Used in the Mount St. Helens to provide biblical creation with science. That doesn't
have anything to do with the last instant message.
Okay. all right. As far as the New World Order, there are people who have bazillions of dollars and loads of political clout, and they are bound and determined to have a one world government with them in charge, okay? In their little brain, love of money, root of all evil. You know, they have most of the money. Now they want the rest of it. What they want is a system where every time you buy anything, they get 1.5% or 2% or whatever. Now that is done through electronic transactions where you buy stuff with a credit card. If you buy stuff with a credit card, you know, the credit card company gets a percentage of that every single time. They love it. That's how they make their business. So you spend $1 million, you know, they get 1%, you know, of that, $10,000. Okay? A lot of money. So suppose everybody had to have a chip in their hand or their head, a little microchip, and all transactions were done by credit card or by electronic transactions. If all transactions were electronic and they got 1% or 2%, whatever it is, they'd be rich. Richer. Excuse me, been talking too much yesterday, Albert. So that's the goal, is to get a one-world government with only electronic transactions. Of course, the advantage of electronic transactions is, of course, you don't carry cash. You don't carry, especially if it's a chip in your hand, no credit cards. You can't steal money. The argument will be, oh, this is going to cut down on theft. It's going to make it so much safer. You won't have to carry a wallet. You know, you can't be robbed in the alley. You know, nobody's going to be mugged because you don't have a wallet.
Mm-hmm.
Your ID is right there in your skin where they can't get it.
And you can track terrorists and your kids, you know.
They won't
get lost. You can find them easily.
And if somebody's, you know, got Alzheimer's and they wander down the street, you can find them with a satellite and locate them, you know, find people that are buried in mines and in snowdrifts. And there'll be a whole buildup of news media preparing people for this. Wow, it's a great idea. Let's accept it. Okay. But they can also find anybody, and they can track everything about you. You have zero privacy. What did Albert buy last month? Albert, you got 2 girlfriends on the side. You bought 2 different size stuff at Victoria's Secret. Ah, I see. Okay, you know what I mean? I mean, that's the kind of... It'll be crazy. and it'll be Big Brother. It will be watching. That's what it's going to be. So, it's prophesied. Revelation 14 says it's going to happen. And we as Christians are not to be part of that. So, it's plain and simple. Okay, so New World Order is well on track. It's coming soon. Now, don't get nervous about it, though. Whenever you read about and study about the New World Order, the tendency is to get all upset and nervous. Oh, what do we do? What do we do? You read Psalms chapter 2. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves. The rulers take counsel together against the Lord, against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. God's laughing at their plans for a new world order. We'll be back, folks. Get your instant messages in about a minute. Welcome back, folks, to the Creation Science Hour and a Half. This is January
30th of 06.
And you can join us on the program, 877-479-DINO, extension 136, or instant message us at Dr. Dino Live. And get your questions to us right away. We'll get as many as we can in here today. We believe the Bible is literally true and scientifically accurate. God made the world in 6 days, just like he said he did. If you're not saved, if you don't have Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're going straight to hell. We don't want that. God doesn't want that. And you certainly ought to be smart enough not to want that. Think about it, okay? Nobody would want that. So, if you'd like to advertise on the program, they have commercial breaks every 20 minutes. You can get yours in there. Just get a hold of Truth Radio and say, hey, I want to advertise on here, and I want, this will support Kent Hovind's ministry. I don't get any money from it, but it ends up saving us the monthly cost. We pay to be on Truth Radio, and we're thrilled to do it. Richard's doing a great job, but it would cut down our cost if you advertise. You get your product out there and advertise, and we would save money. So get hold of Richard at truthradio.com. Say, I want to advertise, and I want this to go for Kent Hovind. That would help. Okay, let's see. Where'd we leave off? What's this about the steering on the Mount St. Helens used to drive? Used?
That's an article I got from Live Science. They're trying to use, I didn't read the article, but I just glanced at it. It's talking about using science to promote the Bible.
Well, Mount St. Helens did all kinds of things to promote the Bible. Okay. I've been there four times. Okay, St. Helens used in drive to prove, this is Anderson, Lloyd Anderson. Yeah, he's a friend of mine. Lloyd and I went up in an airplane. We chartered a plane and flew around down inside Mount St. Helens and flew over the whole area and had a great time. Yeah, this is awesome. So the reporter is saying, I don't know if it's a good article or not, but yeah, livescience.com, The Stirring on the Mount. You can read the article for yourself and see. Unlikely that Live Science gave him a good shake, but Lloyd Anderson doing a great job out there at Mount St. Helens. Okay. Dick, W-O-O-D, writes in. Wood, Dick Wood, I'm assuming. In Psalm 1:1, it says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked. You don't have a King James, do you? Who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scorners. Scornful, the Bible says. Yeah, scoffers in your Bible. Didn't Jesus go against this when he sat with the prostitutes, tax collectors, etc.? I suppose, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Walketh is the King James equivalent of something that's continually done. You know, walketh with the E-T-H. It's very important on there. I think the King James is really important to use that. There are so many hundreds of thousands of reasons why. Every little word is so important. And this is an example here. Jesus was not walking in the counsel of the ungodly or sitting in the way of the scornful. In the way, in the manner, I guess that would be. He was not scornful. He was leading them out. He was trying to win them. I am not for Christians going into taverns to try to reach, you know, the lost. I have in my life of 53 years been in a tavern maybe 3 times, okay, just to talk to somebody or for whatever reason. I just get real uncomfortable just even walking in the door, you know. Never tasted any alcohol in my life except NyQuil. And so, I don't think Jesus would be doing anything wrong. Of course, even then, the one who sets the rules doesn't necessarily have to obey the rules. Just like there are rules where we have to walk through the doorway, where Jesus can walk through the wall, you know, or through the door. We have to open the door to walk through. He can walk through the door itself. He can walk on the water. I cannot. So I don't think it would be fair to put our human limitations on the Creator himself. But either way, I think possibly it's part of the problem here is King James is the Bible version issue has lost some things. There are so many things lost, just absolutely lost in the NIV and new versions. And we cover that in video 7. So, no, I think that for Jesus to sit with the prostitutes, tax collector, etc., to win them over was perfectly fine. Okay, here we go. JTBB2 writes, Dr. Oven, I just want to thank you for your ministry. I found out today that my college chemistry professor, who is about to get his PhD in the spring of 06, thinks evolution is a dumb idea. I asked him if he knew about you, and he said that he didn't, but I told him about your seminar, and he seems excited to see it. Thank you for providing a way to make it easy to spread the creation message. Thank you so much, Joseph. Well, thank you, Joseph. Oh, I appreciate it. Okay, CPTAW, awesome. CPT, awesome. BSU. Hello, I have a question today. Have you and Ken Ham resolved your differences? You both have amazing ministries, and I'd love to see you work together. Well, I guess in excuse me. In my mind, the differences are so minor as to be unnecessary to argue about, okay? I sell his books, tell people about his radio, about his website. I mean, you can listen to my program. Go back and listen to the archives. I mention Answers in Genesis quite often. They have a great website, lots of good articles. I do disagree with them on several key issues. Nothing, you know, try and go to hell over. But I think they have a great ministry. They're doing they're a vital part of the body of Christ. He does not feel that way about me, I don't think. And he's never learned to eat the meat and spit out the bones, I guess. But there are some things about me he doesn't like, and therefore he won't recommend me, and I think it's his loss. I'm doing fine. As far as work together, we don't need each other. I don't need him. He doesn't need me. He's doing fine. I'm doing fine. So it might be a Paul and Silas thing, you know, just separate, and Paul and Barnabas. You know, you end up with two ministries that way. We don't need all the creation ministries working together. And the Bible says, can two walk together except they be agreed, you know, and we don't agree on a couple things. For instance, the Bible version issue. I would have to strongly disagree with Answers in Genesis. They use all different kinds of Bible versions. They think there are errors in the Bible. There's an article written on their website now about who was Canaan. And they say, well, there's a mistake, a copyist error. Now, we wrote them a nice letter. It's on our website, the article about it. I said, brother, here, you're wrong here, and, you know, sweetly, and here's why. But anyway, I'm sure their response will be, you know, swat a mosquito with a sledgehammer. But anyway, yes, I would love to see his friends. I've written letters and sent him money, and I want to be his friend, and I consider him a friend. Actually, I do. I've met with him several times, and I think he has a good heart, loves the Lord, and I wouldn't hurt him for the world. I would like to help him get a few things, you know, ironed out. I think they're wrong on, and I'm sure he feels the same way about me. but, yeah, I'd be thrilled to take him to lunch, and I've invited him down here many times. I've been to their place 3 times now, and they've never come here to see mine, so I think they should. We got an awesome ministry. Albert, our Dinosaur Adventure Land is incredible. Your folks haven't had a tour yet, have they?
No, they haven't.
No. This is your first time up here, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we'll give you the grand tour here in about a half hour. Okay. This is from Papa Holmes, who says, were there comets before the flood? If not, maybe comets were formed when the waters of the deep burst out, blasting the ice layer around the Earth into space. That is probably correct. I don't think there were comets before the flood. I don't know how to prove such a thing, but probably comets formed either during the flood or because of the flood. Walt Brown's got a good session on that on his book In the Beginning and on his website, creationscience.com. He's convinced that comets all came from the Earth. When the fountains of the deep broke open, the pressure would shoot things up actually into orbit. I'd have to get going 18,000 miles an hour to do that, but that could be done. Our escape velocity. Okay, let's see. Cutie Girl 3856 writes it. Have you ever gotten a prank, instant message, or phone call on the radio? I don't know. Albert, have you ever get prank ones?
Not since I've been here. Not really. I mean, I've gotten a few people who've been angry at me.
No, you're kidding. Jonathan actually had an anti-Jonathan website. It might still be up.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I'm going to have to work towards that.
You got
to
work towards that. I got 1,000, man. I'm way ahead of you.
I know.
Let's see. I don't know. My secretary called in once as a prank, and I would say not too many, okay? It says, when did you start doing the Creation Science Radio program? I think 2.5 years ago. Richard might know. If you go to truthradio.com, Richard manages that, and he would probably know when we started. It's been over 2 years, maybe even 2.5 years. So, Richard, if you're there, you can pop in and tell us if you know when we started doing this. Okay, here we go. Mondi, M-O-N-D-E-I-I-I. Is it Mondi Third? It says, it's been a while since I've listened in. I'm going to be talking to a Bible study group that my mother-in-law attends and wanted to know what you think would be a good starting point for discussing the whole creation evolution topic. I don't think that any of them really have any background on the topic, and I only have 1 hour to talk to them. Okay. I do this quite often. Sit on an airplane next to somebody who has no background in what we're talking about. I draw two simple lines on the back of a napkin or the puke bag. You can do this on a chalkboard or make a poster if you'd like. A timeline, what you're going to make. Two timelines, one representing the creation view and one representing the evolution view. I have found that having a visual aid, like a timeline, greatly helps everybody understand and really annoys the evolutionist because it exposes their theory for how dumb it really is. Because when you just say, 18 million years ago, the brain shuts off, okay? You can't comprehend 18 million years ago or 80 or 200 million years ago. You just can't absorb that into your brain. But when you show them on a piece of paper, you have a line. If you want to do this real quick, grab a piece of paper and draw a line from left to right and label the far left end 6,000 years ago, YA. Underneath that, put 4,000 BC. Then come to the far right side and label it today. Now go back to the left one-third the distance, make a hash mark, and label that zero. And put down the word Jesus. That's when Jesus lived. Then go back to whatever would be appropriate distance to be 2400 BC. More than halfway from Christ back to the flood. At 2400 BC, you draw a hash mark and label it flood. With those key points, you can... And I put up a chart, and when I'm talking at schools or universities or churches, I point to the chart. Instead of just saying, 6,000 years ago, I'm pointing to the chart. 6,000 years ago, I tap the chart right here, God made everything. 4,400 years ago, there's a flood, and you touch the chart, and you point to it. The visual gets into their brain where they cannot get it out. Then I point out, before the flood came, people lived to be 900 years old. And when I'm on an airplane talking to folks, I will write right above the line at that point, I'll put 900 plus. According to the Bible, they lived to be 900 plus years old. And I write there, this is a time when dragons lived, and they grew to be gigantic. They were called dragons in those days. Today we know the same animals as dinosaurs. So if you make the timeline visual, if you watch my seminar part one, that chart that I made, the orange and green and bright color, it's a bunch of poster board from Walmart. Okay, I cut 1-inch wide strips of different colors and taped them on there, and then laminated the whole thing so you can... highly visual from 70 feet away, you can still get the idea of what it's all about. And then the other timeline for the evolution is start from left to right. The far left you put 20 billion years ago, on the far right you put today. You'd have to figure out the scale. You go back a certain distance to 3 billion years ago would be man evolved. I'm sorry, 3 million, which is nearly nothing on that scale. Go back 3 billion years ago and put life evolved. And go back to 4.6 billion years ago, you measure out the scale here, and say, the Earth formed. And those are all I put on there. Big Bang at 20 billion years ago, Earth formed, 4.6, life started, 3 billion, and then today. That visual really does amazing things. So if you watch video number one, the key things I would hit in an hour presentation is, 60% of the population believes the Earth is not more than 10,000 years old. 60% of the population is not buying this evolution stuff. In spite of all the propaganda, they're still not buying it. I would also point out that there have been about 20,000 reported sightings of dinosaurs in the last 150 years or so. How do you explain this? To a Christian, from their worldview, it's no problem. Dinosaurs lived with man. Period. Now, to a non-Christian or to an evolutionist, This is a problem. They have to say all 20,000 of these people are lying or stupid or were deceived. Okay, they have to say that because it won't fit their worldview. Okay, you might also want to give them some references and say, if you'd like to learn more, here are some good, you know, websites or programs or videos or whatever you can listen to. Tell them they can contact our office. We have a free book we give away. First time people call, it's called Are You Being Brainwashed by Your Science Book? If you want to get them to call in or instant message us and say, please send me this free brainwashed book, that would be really helpful. Okay, hope that helps. make a note here to announce that. I forgot for radio listeners to call in. Okay. Yeah, let me know how your talk goes to these folks, and then have open time for questions and answers. If you can get PowerPoint and use visuals, the time will fly. You'll wish you had 6 hours instead of one. All right, ATT011 writes back, hi, which Old Testament scripture is more faithful to the original Hebrew text, the King James or the English translated Jewish Tanakh? I'm not familiar with the Jewish Tanakh, but I guess over the 37 years of my Christian life, I have learned to completely 100% trust the King James. Actually, the Authorized Version is what it should be called. King James just paid for it. I mean, he didn't write it, okay? He just paid to have it done. There were 56 authors, 56, you know, translators that worked on that for years and spent a fortune on that thing, and just phenomenal. So I guess I would say I'm coming to the point where I would say God actually preserved his word in English in that version of the Bible. I'm willing to discuss it. I'm not going to beat anybody up over it, but I think that's where we're at with that one. Okay, New Dad. New Dad, 92,705. I hope that means you don't have 92,705 kids. That'd be highly unlikely. You'd have to be a termite to do that. That's no problem for a termite, but I think that'd be a problem for a human. Okay. New Dad, 92705 says, first, let me say that I think you're doing a wonderful job against the false religion of evolution. I enjoy your work immensely. Second, I have a question about the Bible. You answered a question last month about losing your salvation, and I liked your response, but I was wondering what your thoughts are on 2 Peter 2:18. Your response to that question was that it isn't possible to lose your salvation, and I like how you explained why. No, I think you can lose your life. I think a person can sin, and God has to actually kill them to take them home to heaven. But I don't think it's possible to lose your salvation, because salvation's a gift. I didn't deserve it before I got it. I don't deserve it now. There's never been a moment when I deserved it. Okay, we'll look up that verse and start there when we get back, folks. We'll be back in just a moment. Welcome back, folks, to the Creation Science Hour and a Half. Kent Hovind and Awesome Albert. Somebody called him that on the radio. They wrote in a letter and called him Awesome Albert because of his response over there. What's the date, Albert?
January 30th of 06.
And you can join us on the program, 877-479-DINO, extension 136, or instant message us, as many have here today, at Dr. Dino Live. Okay, someone asked me about 2 Peter 2:18 through 22. Let me read it here for you. For when they speak great swelling words of vanity, they allure through the lusts of the flesh, through much wantonness, those that were clean escaped from them who live in error. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption. For of whom a man is overcome, of the same is he brought in bondage. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than at the beginning. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness, then after they have known it, to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. But it has happened unto them, according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire. I think the fact that they use the sow as an example here, instead of a sheep, is evidence that this person is never saved. They come to the knowledge of salvation. They come up, they look at it, they understand it. They might even, you know, pretend like they've gone with it for a while. They might even give a surface, have a surface change, give a new paint job, but nothing's changed in the heart. My opinion is that 2 Peter 2:18-22 is talking about a person who understood salvation and never was saved. Okay? That's my thought on it. Okay. New Dad says, oh, that was your question. Okay. Young Earth Guy writes in, if I wanted to use the local high school science books in my own PowerPoint slides to show the kids at church lies in their own textbooks, how to get permission to use the material? Do you have to get written permission from the publisher or use to use them in PowerPoint? Absolutely not. Just use them. Scan in the page and go for it. Yeah, you're paying for the book, okay? And the publisher, there are all kinds of fair use clauses. What the rules are exactly, but if you're using less than 10% of the book and your use of the book is not likely to detract from somebody else buying it because they get the same information from you, it's no problem. So just use it. Okay? Buzz UK 234. You're up late over there, Buzz. It's England. He's in England, okay? Hey, Ken, can you repeat the quotes from the Quran you mentioned earlier on the program about the white faces? Book and verse, number, thanks. An excellent seed to the question, to question the motive of their faith. Joe. Okay, Joe, I believe I have... I shut down my PowerPoint. Let me see if I've got it here. Still open. Okay. About only white faces shall be saved. The Quran, you know, has a lot of crazy things. I'm sure no world's expert on it, but I'll tell you, there's a guy, Common Sense for Today, CST.org, I think is his website. Don Boyes, B-O-Y-S, he has written a book about Islam, America's Trojan Horse. That is excellent. Let me see if that's his website. Okay. About white faces shall be saved. Okay, I'm looking at here. The Hadith teaches that Satan stays in the upper part of the nose all night. That's why when Muslims get up in the morning, they suck water into their nose and blow it back out 3 times. It's called ablution. They and blow water out of their nose. They have to wash out the boogeyman. Okay? All right. Let's see. Purest joy for Allah, for Islam, is to kill and be killed for Allah. I'm reading some quotes here. Let's see. Oh, here we go. Sir 3, the third Sir, verses 105 and 106. Now, I will caution, you have to be careful. There are actually, apparently, two different Qurans. There's one that's given for popular consumption among, you know, English-speaking people and doesn't have some of the stuff in it that the real one has. So you need to make sure you're getting the real Quran. Don Boyes, yes, CST News, Common Sense for Today, CSTnews.com. That's Don Boyes' book, America's Trojan Horse. It's excellent. Let's see. There's a couple other good books you'd want to get. One is available from our bookstore called The Prophet. That's a great one. There's another one called Who Is This Allah? That really is good if you want to understand Islam. And I've said many times, I'm not anti-Islam, I'm not anti-Catholic, I'm not anti-evolution. I'm for truth and against error. Period. End of story. If something's true, I'm for it. If something's wrong, I'm against it. Regardless of the source, it doesn't matter. It's just you stick with truth and always be against error. Okay, hope that helps, Joe. Fight for Jesus Today writes in, I've always wondered why tobacco companies were never shut down for murder of millions of people, but last night I actually thought about it and realized it's slightly reducing the population. Of course, the first goal of the New World Order. Does sound like a logical conclusion? Good point. 5 million people a year die from tobacco products is the estimate. Talk about weapons of mass destruction. That's it. 5 million a year. Well, good point. Plus, I don't know that you get a bunch of senators, representatives that smoke cigarettes to vote against smoking, you know. I'm surprised they got a bunch of the alcoholics in Congress to vote against alcohol back in 1913 or whatever it was, you know. That was pretty interesting. Bunch of booze hounds. Ted Kennedy will never vote against that. Are you kidding? He'd die. When he dies, they won't have to embalm him. He's already embalmed. Okay, here we go. I-E-S-O-U-S-M-Y, my solder, whatever. Man, why did they do that? Albert, do you have a screen name like this? It's hard to understand.
No, I told you what mine was.
Tell me again. I forgot.
Albie 21210.
Albie?
Yeah. That's what they call me.
Albie. You guys call him Albie? That's sweet. I bet you want to say anything on the radio about Albie, or you want to?
No, they don't.
They don't, Albert. Okay. Yeah, I bet they could tell us a few stories, couldn't they, Albert? Yeah, I bet they could. All right. Well, we can always maybe tell me later, and I'll record it, and we'll use it for, you know, if he gets out of line, say, hey, you want me to push this button, Albert?
At least I didn't burn the tree down.
Okay, good. Anyway, whatever the screen name is, here writes in, my friend's brother told me that they, secular scientists, have proven that there are no bones from Israelites from when they were in captivity in Egypt. I know that they were in captivity, but I've never heard something that bizarre from someone before. What do you think? Oh, I don't know how you can tell someone's Israeli from a bone. First of all, who would be doing the checking? I mean, what would the reason be to check? Where would they bury slaves, and how would they bury slaves? Would they care? Did the Egyptians have, you know, a way of disposing of them, like throwing them to the crocodiles? I don't know. I've never heard that question. I tell you who might know, though. Richard Reeves at WyattMuseum.com does a lot of archaeological stuff over there in Egypt and in Israel. And he, if he doesn't know, he would probably know who did. So go to Wyatt, W-Y-A-T-T, museum.com. See what Richard has to say about that. Okay, Little Italy, 32,000 writes in, how do you feel about the new Palestinian leader Hamas taking control and saying how Israel should be wiped off the map? Does this play into prophecy, end times, maybe? Well, I'll tell you right now, on a Palestinian map, Israel is already wiped off. It has never been there. Kids go to school in these countries around Israel, and their map shows all of the land belongs to the Palestinians, Arabs. They don't even have Israel on there. That's why they always refer to it as the occupied territory. Now, suppose the Indians were going to school here in America, and all of their maps showed, you know, Cherokee Nation, Sioux Nation, you know, etc., and they kept calling it the occupied territory for the last 150 years. What's that going to do to those Indian kids going to school? They're going to feel like, oh, hey, we got to wipe these white men out and to get our land back. So these Palestinians are taught from the time they're zero, you know, that's our land, these people don't belong there, they will never recognize Israel. And the Israeli government is absolutely stupid for trading land for peace. Absolutely stupid. What they should do, when they have a war, conquer a region, build a fence around it, kick all the Arabs out, and say, now, you know, this is ours. That's the way it's been for the last 3,000 years of human history. Somebody conquers the land, that's now their land. They won, okay? Conquer it, kick them out. They should carve out a section of Saudi Arabia and give it to the Palestinians, but not Israel. Okay. So, end time prophecy, yeah, I think the Hamas is definitely out to, they've always been out to destroy Israel. Always, okay? It's nothing new. Maybe they're just admitting it now. Okay, God's Creation 1602 writes in, hello, I have a question about your seminar part one. When I saw you in November in Denver, North Carolina, you had a slide of SpongeBob saying, who is your daddy? The theory that you were referring, I think, is a theory that states that life started from sponges instead of rocks. Could you clarify and give me some references? Thanks. Yes, that was Nature Magazine, November of 2004, if I recall. Let me look it up for you real quick. It's in Seminar Part 1. I couldn't believe it when I saw that. You know, did you see that Nature Magazine?
No, I don't think I did.
It says, it shows a picture of a sponge, and it says, this is your ancestor. I just said, how dumb. Here it is. No, I'm sorry. It's Discover Magazine. Discover Magazine, November 04. Here you go. Andy, I'll let you see this for the radio folks to verify this. Discover Magazine, November 04, page 64. Arrow, red arrow, this is your ancestor pointing to a sea sponge. When microbiologist Mitchell Sagan decided to trace human evolution to its roots, he had no idea he might find sponges. So, who's your daddy? SpongeBob. There you go.
Hey, SpongeBob.
I've only watched about 5 minutes of SpongeBob ever in my life, and I just couldn't stomach it. This has got to be the dumbest thing. Is it that dumb through the whole thing?
Oh, yeah, yes.
I'm not the target audience. No. Albert, are you the target audience?
I hope not.
Okay. What's the purpose of SpongeBob? I don't get it.
Is it. So you don't have to think.
Oh, okay. Just no-brainer. Okay. Kids or whatever. All right. So anyway, that's Discover Magazine, November of 04. Let's see. Free Will by Grace, 08, writes in, could you, by any chance, tell me where the story of Zacchaeus is in the Bible? Oh, I think it's in Luke. If you have a, go to, I don't, you'd have to know how to spell Zacchaeus to get it. Or sycamore tree. Let's see. Zacchaeus. Z-A-C-H. I'm going to get Zechariah. That's all I know of the spelling. I'm going to get a bunch of them here. Yeah, Luke, Zacharias. Let me go up here. No. Must not be spelling it right. Z-A-K? No? How do you spell sycamore? S-Y-C-A-M-O-R-E? Sycamore, no. I got it spelled wrong. I could type in tree. That'll find me 169 verses. Okay. We can find it, yeah. We
now you're narrowing it down.
Narrowing it down, right. Let's see. Sycamore tree. Saw the fig tree, the fig tree, the fig tree, the fig tree. Only 169 verses here to look through. I don't know, but get God's Word for Windows. I'm sure there's other search programs, but this one's free. I mean, you can go on the internet and type God's Word for Windows. Oh, here we go, Zacchaeus. I found it. Luke 19. S-Y-C-O-M-O-R-E. Sycamore. Ah, that's how I misspelled it. And Zacchaeus is Z-A-C-C-H-A-E-U-S. See, that's why not many people name their kid Zacchaeus anymore. You don't... All right. Rest of you, we will be back tomorrow and all week, much to the dismay of the evolutionists. We'll be here. Tell them to call in. A bunch of cowards. We'll be glad to talk to them. Thanks a lot. Bye-bye.